With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing all those big playoff finals this weekend in the Premier Division, in Division 1 North and Division 1 South. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick Extra. Welcome. So hello and welcome everyone to EvoStick Extra, a special NPL playoff final edition of the show where later on we're going to be previewing all the playoff finals, as we'll be hearing from the management from all the clubs involved, all six of them no less. But before that, some clubs are more than happy to have finished their season, and one of those clubs is Lancaster City, beating Glossop North End by 5-2 away from home last weekend to seal the deal when it comes to the Division 1 North title, a title race which literally went down to the wire with Farsley Celtic. More from Farsley Celtic later on in the show, but earlier in the week, I caught up with the manager at Lancaster City. Here's Phil Brown. So a big congratulations to Lancaster City. And joining me now, it's one of the architects of the success. It's manager at Lancaster City. It's Phil Brown. Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks, Ben.
Firstly, a big congratulations and quite a way to do it as well. 5-2 away winners at Glossop North End. Not a mean feat by any stretch of the imagination.
No, thanks a lot. Yeah, it was very difficult in terms of the game itself. We started really, really well and obviously went in at half-time, 5-1 up. And we couldn't have asked for a better first half, to be honest. And then second half, it was about keeping our feet on the ground and seeing the job through. And I'm glad to say that we did.
What's the running been like for yourself as a manager of Lancaster City? I mean, I saw Lancaster away at Prescott Cables, and it was very, very nervy. I mean, Prescott Cables at the time were in a bit of form as well, we should say. But what's the running been like? Because yourselves and Farsley, it's not been the most fluid of run-ins for both clubs.
No, it's been up and down for both teams. I think if you look at the form table, I think we're about halfway, and Farsley aren't too far away from that. So, you know, we haven't had a seamless running. You know, we've put in some disappointing performances, but on top of that, we have recovered and put some decent performances in there as well. You know, Kendall and obviously the last game of the season at Glossop. But it's been a bit nervy, you know, a bit of pressure on. Obviously, players start to realise what's at stake. No matter how much you try to sort of like get your team to be as natural as you possibly can, it just affected some of the performances. You know, you're playing teams that maybe haven't got pre-match pressure. You know, they're playing with a bit more of a freedom because their season is sort of like, you know, there's nothing riding on it to an extent.
But saying all that, Phil, with regards to the running, the actual season overall, the games against the likes of Kidderminster and Darlington in the FA Cup and the general run that Lancaster have been on, the squad itself, there was a lot of joy to be had this season for Lancaster, and a lot for you as a manager and the coaching staff to fall back upon to motivate the players coming into this final couple of games of the season.
Oh yeah, we've had a great season in terms of, you know, the performances, and obviously, you know, the league position. We've made a few quid in the cup, not a lot, you know, but every chairman will tell you, you know, can you get through the first few rounds of the FA Cup and the trophy? So we started off okay early doors, and then obviously in the league campaign we took time to get going, I'm going to be honest, but we were always a work in progress. And then once we did get comfy and a little bit more together, the results started to pick up, and you know, we gradually improved and improved, and come around Christmas time when we hit the top of the table, we stayed up there for a bit. Run-ins are run-ins. You know, it was difficult to maintain sort of our February form where we got club of the month. You know, and we dipped a little bit, but the important thing was that we didn't fold. And the lads have been brilliant. They've always had the belief, you know, that this season was going to be a decent season. And I'm really pleased for everybody connected with the club.
When do you start thinking then about next season? Because obviously you're joining the NPL Premier. It's going to be very, very competitive next season. We've got the likes of Altrincham and Stalybridge joining the fray. Plus, there's going to be a fair few teams who don't quite get promoted this season who are going to be in the league. Plus, Shaw Lane. What are you expecting for how Lancaster can compete next season?
Well, it's going to be very challenging. Like you just touched on there, there's some good clubs in there, some good teams in there. So we're under no illusions. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be harder than this year, certainly. And that's no disrespect to the league that we've just come out of. It's just, you know, what we're going into. But at the other end, it's going to be exciting, you know, because some of the teams that we're going to come up against, we've not come up against ever. Obviously, some others that we're going to come up against, we've not come up against them for a period of time. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be an exciting challenge. It's going to be something that we're looking forward to. In terms of how we do, you know, or what we're planning, yeah, we've looked at a few things, but, you know, we just wanted to get this season done and dusted, really. I've got a meeting with the chairman and the board sometime this week. So we'll sit down and have a talk about things and see, you know, which way we want to go with that. But we're looking forward to it. But we don't want to get caught in terms of, you know, not being proactive. However, we want to make sure that we enjoy, you know, the season. It's only finished on Saturday.
And just a quick mention as well for the league you're leaving behind. We were talking to Adam Lord and Tom Feeney about whoever finishes second. It's going to be a really, really cagey going into the playoffs. You wouldn't want to be in those playoffs coming out of Division One North, would you, this week?
I'm going to be honest, no, I wouldn't. You know, if we had gone in the playoffs, it would have been difficult. Not to motivate. I don't think it's difficult to motivate players at all. But I just think it would have been difficult, you know, being so close and then having to go into the playoffs. In terms of the teams that are in there, it's going to be tight. It's going to be really tight. Farsley, obviously, are a good team. You've got Scarborough on, you know, who are the form team, had an unbelievable couple of months. Colne, you know, are a good team. They've won a lot of games recently, and Ossett as well. They've come to the fore again after a little dip. So it's going to be really tight, and you know, I wouldn't like to call it at all. I know, obviously, you know, you've got your teams with a home advantage, but the playoffs are going to be really competitive, and it is going to be a tight affair. That's how I see it, and I wouldn't like to call who's going to come out on top. I'm going to be honest with you.
So Lancaster City will be going up to the NPL Premier Division next season to be joining such sides as Sutton Coldfield Town, who also signed off last Saturday with success on the pitch. Commiserations to Corby Town, but Sutton Coldfield stayed up following a 0-0 draw away from home at Workington. Earlier in the week, I caught up with Richard Snakers, manager at Sutton Coldfield Town, to hear his views on Sutton Coldfield staying up this season. Hello, Richard. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm all good. So we've given you breathing room. We didn't want to bring you on to jinx it. And Sutton Coldfield,
no.
The great escape happened. Big congratulations.
Thank you.
What was it all down to, other than not being on the show?
Well, that's a major factor, to be fair. No, it's been a home form, to be honest. You know, we played the top five. We took 11 points off them away from home. You know, we've been nothing short of abysmal at times. So our home form, you know, has got us through it. You know, the players that we brought in towards the end started to gel, and we got a point at exactly the right moment. You know, to come in November, have 14 points, lose the first three games, 14 points after 23 games, and to then at the last week of last day of the season to get out of the bottom four. You know, when we've been in it bar 1 week. You know, the whole time that I've been there, it's nothing short of a miracle, you know. And a lot of praise should go out to the players and to my assistant, Steve Inks, who has worked tirelessly to get players in, to get us going, and to get us where ultimately we had to be, you know, on the last day of the season, which was a point above the relegation zone.
And I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned the home form, that point on the weekend was, it transpired, it was crucial. And going into it, Workington away, it's a hell of a trip. Workington need a good result to ensure they get home advantage and they're not having to go in and schlep themselves midweek in the playoffs. So what was the mood like, and how tiring a day was it for you?
Workington away is in a great place to go at the best of times, you know. Nothing against, you know, the scenic, the route up there and looking over the hills and stuff. It is beautiful, but it is a tough place to go. You know, that is, it's notorious for that. I think they give you a bit of a false sense of security sometimes when you think, you know, they're not a really good footballing side, but, you know, they don't concede many. And Colville had nothing to play for. You think Corby going to Colville. They've won the last two games with a new manager. And we've got to go to Workington, who, if they'd won, you know, I don't think they would have even had a home advantage because Stourbridge won in the end as well.
Yes.
You know, you just think, is this just not going to be our season? Is this just going to be a hell of a ride back for 5 hours knowing that you've got relegated? But, you know, but we are resilient. Have dug, you know, results out when we probably didn't look like we were going to get one, and we were dug it. I think they've been playing. That was their fourth game in 7 days, and they've got to play again tonight. And I think it just told, you know, with Russia last year, we had the same. We had something like 11 games in 28 days. And the players, no matter who you play, whether or not it's bottom of the league, you know, it's starting to show. And, you know, they looked like they were dead on their feet. They had one really good chance about 3 minutes from time. And luckily, James Rutten pulled off a fantastic save. And, no, it's just then the celebrations could start. You know, the trip home was something that, you know, you've never seen in your life before. Everybody singing, dancing, you know, what you expect from a team that has escaped on the last day. And it's, you know, like I said before, it's nothing close of a miracle. I don't think Harry Houdini would have got out of this situation, but we did. And, you know, we can all have a couple of weeks rest, but then it will start all over again. And, you know, we just want to make sure that that next year we give a good account of ourselves and are not in the situation that we're in or were in for, you know, basically the 5 months that I was here.
And that was going to be my last question. On this week's show, we're speaking to Phil Brown from Lancaster City, and it's an obvious question about next season. Obviously, Sutton Coldfield had a disastrous start off the pitch, well, literally off the pitch, because the pitch needed relaying. You don't need that kind of thing. You want to hit the ground running and capitalise on that home form. What are you looking at for next season when it comes to your talk with the club board and that kind of thing? What are you aiming for next year?
Well, we like I said, we don't want to be in the same situation again. You know, it's not good for the old ticker if you are in the bottom five, you know, every week in, week out, you know, having the pressure of having basically to scrape points together to get out of it, you know. So doesn't always make it enjoyable then, because you know that once you've won a game, you need to win another one to, you know, to catch up and get out of it. So, you know, hopefully this will prove a point to a couple of people. You know, a lot of people never gave us a chance, you know, thought we were down months ago. So it's given me and Steve and the rest of our coaching staff a little bit of credibility that, you know, we can do it. We know our budget. We can't compete with some of the bigger guns in our league. But, you know, this has given us a bit of a platform for players to hopefully come to us and say, you know, we try and play good football. They are well looked after. You know, we're not ballers and shouters. We want to do things the right way. And hopefully that will attract, you know, some players that want to come and play for us rather than come and have another payday, because, you know, that's not what we can offer. You know, we can offer, you know, enjoyable training sessions, trying to play the right way. And we go from there. So the hard work starts again. Even though you think, you know, you're going to have a couple of weeks off, now the hard work starts now. You know, contacting players, seeing who wants to come, who is interested in coming, and now use our contacts, because, you know, we think outside the box. We had two boys from Grimsby on loan for you know, almost the time that we were there. They were absolutely fantastic. You know, nobody had thought about that. They came down, they drove all this way to come and play for us, and boys became men. So, you know, that's what we want to do. You know, we want to think outside the box. We want to develop young players like we did with Aaron Williams and Alex Reid, who's gone on to get a career in Football League. You know, that's what we can offer, a little bit of expertise and a little bit of know-how. And, you know, that's how we want to go about our things.
Well, onwards and upwards for Sutton Coldfield Town. As we said earlier, a big congratulations to you, Richard, and all
Thank
the
you.
Coaching staff and all, everyone connected with Sutton Coldfield Town. It's been a thrilling, well, not for you, obviously, but it has been thrilling for the rest of us to watch the tussle that's been going on. Someone, unfortunately, has to get relegated, but it's not going to be Sutton Coldfield this season.
No.
So a big congratulations, and we'll be speaking to you for the season preview. And then I'll leave you alone for another season,
yeah,
Richard.
Don't jinx me again. No, thanks very much. Much appreciated. Any time you give us and the club is much appreciated. Thanks very much for that.
Very shortly, we're going to be focusing on the playoff finals on Saturday afternoon, as we'll be hearing from all six managers involved. But staying with survival, and the great escape happened on Saturday just gone, as Loughborough Dynamo stayed up in Division 1 South. Quite a remarkable achievement. On Tuesday, though, I caught up with the manager, Pete Ward, at Loughborough Dynamo, to hear his views on the great escape. So a big congratulations, Pete. A superb effort over the weekend, but also a superb effort, we have to say, over the last few weeks or so. It's been gigantic what's been achieved at Loughborough in the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think obviously when I took the job, I think it was a bit like Harry Redknapp. You know, people said I was mad, and you know, at the end of the day, I just looked at the fixtures, to be fair, and I knew we'd got some tough ones, but I knew we'd got perhaps some that we could perhaps get points out of, you know. So I was aware of the fact that obviously Northwich were going to be deducted 10 points as well, so it made it a little bit easier, you know, to do the job. But yeah, the last few weeks, I mean, you know, I'm making excuses, but you know, I think we've played about 7 of the top 8 teams in the last 5 or 6 weeks, and they've all been away from home, and you just plan that you're going to hopefully, you know, the few games that you got left that you can perhaps get some results from, and obviously that's how it's panned out.
Well, when you go back to the past 6 games, Loughborough Dynamo have finished the season with the 5th best form in the league, and it all boils down to those last 4 results, wins on the board, in particular those wins against Rugby and Northwich Victoria as well. They're 6-pointers essentially, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the thing is with, you know, when you say you're in a battle, you know, we weren't playing against teams that were actually, you know, finished the season off, if you like. They were mid-table. They were teams that were battling for points just like ourselves. And, you know, it was like sort of 4 major cup finals at the end. And, you know, the lads responded brilliantly. And, I mean, when you think that if we'd have lost to Rugby probably, 3 games ago, 4 games ago, we would have been out the league. You know, we would have been relegated. And to actually come away from Rugby and then, you know, win 1-0 and keep things alive was magnificent. And then obviously we moved on to Northwich on the Wednesday, and we got a great result then. And Monday, we started off with 14 players and ended up with 11. I got one lad who was stuck on the motorway, one lad who was stuck on the train, and one lad broke down in the warm-up. So on Monday, it was like Royal de Rovers stuff, and, you know, but they battled really hard, and I'm really proud of them.
Now, going into that last game then, with the you needed a win, essentially. You couldn't take any chances with Rugby. As it happens, Kidsgrove beat Rugby. But you have to say as well, Loughborough Dynamo beating Market Drayton Town 4-1 on the last day of the season. Cracking result. What was the atmosphere like at the ground for on that day?
Yeah, well, obviously, pre the game, we talked about obviously carrying on the run, and, you know, obviously they'd come and you know, they'd got not a lot to play for, but I don't think anybody goes out there not to win a game, so it was going to be a tough match. And when we heard that Rugby were winning after probably 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden we went 1-0 down, it was like, oh God, what's going on here, you know? And then all of a sudden, like, you know, we get an equaliser, and I think that settled us down a bit. I think we were very nervous, to be honest with you, you know, and then second half, we had a little chat at half time and just said that we've got to believe in what we're doing. And, you know, we've done that the last 3 or 4 games. And in the end, we got a second goal. A little bit of luck that I felt we hadn't had in, you know, in previous games. And we got the second goal. And then, you know, we got the third. And I was so exhausted when the third went in, I couldn't even cheer. Then, obviously, we got the fourth goal. And coming off, I mean, the crowd were unbelievable. And, you know, the people behind the scenes, there's a lot of people in non-league football that do a lot of jobs and they do it for nothing. And they work hard behind the scenes. And at Loughborough, you know, I think that epitomises what's gone on with a lot of clubs. And, you know, I was just thankful for the directors that they got and the club itself, because yeah, I think going down, maybe they perhaps wouldn't have gone up in the next few years. So really massive, massive game. Crowd were brilliant. The lads were brilliant. And I think they just had belief that they could do it. And I think when you win a game, you know, when you're down there, the mentality is that you can win another one. And then, obviously, like you said, we went 4 on the bounce. And, well, the rest is probably history as far as Luff were concerned.
Well, let's move from history to the future then, Pete. Obviously, you took over Christmas. This is your opportunity, essentially, isn't it, for a fresh start, a new season. But I think it's the second season on the trot where Loughborough finished 20th in Division 1 South. For your benefit, and I think for your chairman's benefit, you're aiming for a bit higher next season. What are your expectations going into
next season? From my point of view, you know, I'm you know, the chairman's obviously had a word with me, and, you know, I said we'd sit down on Thursday night. I think we're playing in a cup semi-final, charity cup semi-final that we're in. You know, we've got that, and I said I'd sit down after and we'd talk about where the club wanted to go. You know, I mean, I've been around a long time, me, but I'm still ambitious, and I still want to, you know, I want to be with a club that have got ambitions to move forward, and I think that's every manager's dream, really. I don't want Loughborough finish 20th in the league next year, but, you know, it all depends on what's said on Thursday night, and, you know, I just think the people around the club are really good, and, you know, they're really enthusiastic, but they have to realise that at the level we're at, you know, we've got to be competing, and You, as you just said, you know, I don't want Loughborough end up 20th in the league next year and battling for, you know, for the lives again. And hopefully, if they say the right things, then I'm looking forward to next season.
Well, Pete Ward, a big congratulations for everyone here at the NPL show, to you, all your coaching staff and everyone associated with Loughborough Dynamo. Superb effort. It's a proper great escape, and everyone at the club should be congratulated. It's superb. So enjoy your summer. I think you've earned it.
Thanks very much, mate. Really appreciate that, and best of luck.
So, welcome everybody to the playoff special of Evo Stick Extra. Coming up over the next half an hour or so, we're going to be speaking to all the managers involved in the playoff finals this weekend. And we're going to start with the Premier Division. Very shortly, we're going to be hearing from Gary Hackett. But before that, let's hear from the hosts from Spennymoor Town. It's the welcome return to Jason Ainsley. Hello, Jason. How's things?
Good afternoon, Ben. Yeah, all good, mate. Thank you very much.
Can I just congratulate you as well? I have said I'm going to speak to Gary Hackett, but at the minute, it is like herding cats trying to get hold of all your managers. You're all very busy, and rightfully so. We'll come to the playoff final in a second, but just your thoughts about Tuesday night's game. A very assured performance, it sounds like, from Spennymoor Town.
Yeah, I think difficult conditions against a very good side. You know, we've played them twice this season, and probably the best side that we've played in both games. So it was a massive, massive result for us. You know, we were very solid, didn't give much away, and when our chances came, we took them. Ben, so no, delighted with the performance on a really horrific night of every season that we had: sun, showers, sleet, and snow and wind. So no, delighted with the result, mate.
And it transpires as well, obviously, because of that win, you're in the final, and because of the form coming out of the season with some excellent results. We saw you personally at Matlock. It means you've got home advantage for the final. There's a crowd of over 800 there at Brewery Fields on Tuesday night. Imagine it's going to be a lot bigger on Saturday. How important is home advantage going to be?
I think it's definitely an important factor. I think, like you say, that I think the midweek one is massive. The Tuesday night one at home is always the big one, because lads have to get off work and travel. Saturdays is not so much, I don't think, because I think Stourbridge will come up tonight maybe, or they'll prepare, right? So, you know, but home advantage for us, we're very strong at home. We've got a real good you know, fan base there who cheered us on no matter what. So it's going to be a really good occasion, like you say. There's the crowd there was probably, you know, a couple of hundred short of where it should be because of the weather. But tomorrow, I'm hoping the northeast sun will be shining and there'll be 2,000 in there tomorrow. So it'll be really rocking.
And when it comes to yourself and the wider club, obviously you've come a long way in a very short space of time. But you have finished second in the league. Is this the most important match in your career to date, Jason, do you think?
I think it is, Ben, yeah. I think, yeah, no doubt about that. Our goal was three promotions in 5 years, and this would be three promotions in 4 years. You know, like you said, I've said that to the players on numerous occasions. You know, the players here have put the club on the map, because I can remember 8 or 9 years ago when we were trying to win the Northern League Second Division, and we got over the line against Penrith, you know, 1-0 away in a totally scrappy game. So that set us on our way, and we've had some massive, massive games in a short period of time. You know, and expectations now are very, very high, but we have come a long way in a short space of time, and people sometimes forget that. You just have to look at the teams that got promoted last year to the Evo Stick Premier, you know, Warringtons, the Colvilles, the Staffords and things like that. We're the only sort of team in and around it at the moment, and one of two can go up.
And from thinking back, I've not asked the statistician about this, but it seems only fitting that it's second against third as well. Spennymoor and Stourbridge, arguably teams of the season behind Blyth Spartans. It's a big game, this one. What are you expecting from the visitors, and what are you expecting from the game overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think we know what they're about. They're a big, strong, organised side who've done outstandingly well. They've got a big fan base, and I know they're trying to achieve the same goal as we are. You know, they set the stall out at the start of the season. I think they've, you know, wanted to get promotion like we did, and they've had a great run in the FA Cup, getting the third round against Wickham. they're a very strong outfit, you know, big, strong lads, got players who can hurt you. And on the day, it's like you say, I think any of the four teams in the playoffs could have got promoted. It's down to two now, and it's probably, like you say, fitting that second v third in a bumper gate tomorrow, which will decide everything.
Well, Jason Ainsley, thank you for taking the time out your busy Friday to come on the show. I can't wish you more luck than Stourbridge, but I hope non-league football's the winner and certainly the Pies as well. But thank you, Jason, and all the best tomorrow.
Cheers, Ben. No, I appreciate that, mate. Thank you.
So that's the view from Spennymoor, but what about Stourbridge? Well, joining me now is the assistant manager of Stourbridge. It's John Ford. Hello, John. How are you?
Good afternoon.
I think we can all tell. Are you travelling up to the North East tonight on Friday as we record this?
We are. We've set out in good time, preparations, doing an overnight stay and just giving ourselves the best opportunity we can, really.
And I think you did the same, didn't you, for Workington away, as I recall. What kind of advantage do you think it gives you to be able to get up there early doors?
Well, it's hard. You know, we've got everything from bin men through to a bank manager, so it's hard for them to get the shift off. And we met up about three pickup points, met up about three, and we'll get our way up to the hotel and hopefully be in the northeast around about 9 o'clock and prepare for.
Now let's talk about Tuesday night then, John. Obviously, it was a very on Monday night rather. It was a very hard fought affair. Went to extra time. What was the mood on the night? I mean, I listened to it back of commentary. A very cracking atmosphere. Everyone very, very excited, and it was a great advert for the league.
Well, a lot of neutrals came to the game and left saying, you know, they'd never go and watch a Premiership, you know, game again, and they loved the non-league aspect and what it was all about. With respect to Workington, they've had a tough week. Obviously, they've played the Saturday, they've played the Monday, the Wednesday, the Saturday, and then to come and travel down to ourselves on the Monday and to play us. Fair credit. Honestly, I thought they gave a fantastic performance, and it could have gone either way. And they quite surprised me with their energy levels, to be honest.
Now we heard from Gary Hackett after the match, and he was talking about the preparation going into this final match, getting the messieurs in on Thursday night. How was training this week after that match? I take it was a lot more low key than it would have been normally.
Well, that's totally changed, to be honest, because we've decided to travel up. Obviously, to get the lads in on a Thursday would probably be too much. You know, Monday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday as well. We have to remember, you know, they've all got families and it's part-time football. But, you know, our preparation is from now, really, and starting this afternoon. So they're ready. They know what they've got to do. And I think it'll be a cracking game, personally.
I think it'll be a cracking game. Unfortunately, I've got to go watch my normal team, FC United, but I really would like to go and watch this match because I think it's going to be a right proper ding-dong of non-league football. Just closing then, when it comes to Stourbridge this season, John, you've had an absolutely unbelievable season with the FA Cup. Swampy described you as having the team of the year. Stourbridge has been a cracking season. What's the mood at the club going into this final now?
Well, it has been a fantastic season. To reach the third round of the FA Cup was an achievement in itself, and we'd had a good cup in the year previous, and just didn't quite have enough legs towards the end, losing to Frickley on a Thursday night in Salford last year, and we just missed out on the playoffs. This year, we sort of learned from that a little bit, and probably after the Wickham game, we lost our back four, apart from one, and our two wide players, you know, who beat to us through injury. So we've probably had to build we brought five or six players into the team, and we've got quite a new side, actually. So this team now is just beginning to gel. So from that aspect, to have two different sides really throughout the season, that's how we view it. You know, they've done very well, and fair play to Gary. He's rallied round and made sure we've got the right numbers coming into the running.
Well, I can't wish you more luck than spending more, you understand. But
I understand.
John, a safe journey up there and a safe journey back, and the best of luck this weekend. It's going to be a cracking game of football. Just like to put a record, my congratulations to Stourbridge and Spennymoor. You've both been superb all season.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
John Ford there, assistant manager at Stourbridge. So that's enough about the Premier Division playoff final. What about Division 1 North? Coming up in a second, we're going to be hearing from Ossett Town. But before that, well, it's a return of a dear old friend to the show. It's the joint manager at Farsley Celtic. It's Neil Parsley. Hello, Neil. How are you?
Very well, Ben. Yourself?
I'm all good, thank you. So this weekend, it's a very big game for the club, obviously. But just before we get to previewing the playoff final, just your thoughts generally about what happened on Tuesday night. I mean, to just be pipped to the post the way you were for the title and then to pull out a performance like that, that took a lot. And I think everyone should be congratulated at Farsley for producing such a performance.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Well, to be fair, it wasn't too difficult to pick the boys off. They weren't too downhearted. Yeah, disappointed, obviously, to miss out on a title by a single point. But it is what it is. And, you know, we went up to Kendal and gave a good account of ourselves last Saturday. And we continued that into Tuesday.
What was the mood going into the game on Tuesday? I mean, I'm an FC United fan. I remember when Charlie just pipped FC to the league, and then we had a playoff semi-final on the Tuesday, and literally no one in the ground, including the supporters or the players, were up for that game. So what was the secret of Tuesday night, getting the players motivated for that next hurdle?
Relaxed. We went in training on the Monday night. We prepared well for it. The club had done a lot of work on the pitch. It was heavily watered. It was cut short. We had players who'd returned from suspensions and fitness. So all the ingredients really pulled together, along with the positive mentality of the group of players, to turn in an accomplished performance to get us where we are on Saturday.
And we should say as well, I mean, we were following the match live. We had Tom Feeney at the ground giving us updates on the playoff special that we did on Tuesday night. And you even missed a penalty, but the place was rocking. There was over 400 people there. What does it mean for Farsley to be in the playoff final now with a chance of promotion?
Well, we've achieved what we set out to do last July. Dees and myself sat down. We highlighted a group of players that we'd like to bring to the club. We achieved some of the targets. We didn't achieve some. But all in all, to secure the County Cup, as well as to get to a playoff final, a lot of people will consider that as, you know, success. But we're looking at going one better. As I'm sure Grant Black and Mick Norbury will be telling their players, the here now, come 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, both sides will be going hell for leather on achieving, you know, promotion to the EvoStick Premier.
And any injuries going into this final? We should say, I'm going to offer the same to Grant as well. You're more than welcome to play mind games at this point. Any injuries or anything going into this game that will affect the outcome?
No. We won't be doing any mind games. We've got a clean bill of health. We'll be training tonight. We'll be preparing. We know how Ossett will set up. They know how we'll set up. So we'll work on a few things tonight. But no, as regards to the fitness and the and suspensions and the likes of, the only doubt that we'll have is over Nathan Turner, who's got a long-standing injury anyway. But other than that, no, we're fine.
Well, I can't wish you more luck than Ossett, but what I can say is Farsley Celtic this season have been absolutely superb. 100 goals scored, nearly winning the title. A superb effort by yourself, Neil, and everyone else of the coaching staff there at Throstle's Nest. So I can't wish you more luck, but I hope non-league football and the Pies are the winner this weekend, and I wish you all the best of luck hosting the event. So thank you, Neil Parsley, joint manager at Farsley, for joining us.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for your coverage. Thank you.
So that's the view from the home team, but what about the visitors? And joining me now from Ossett Town, it's the welcome return to the manager at Ossett Town, it's Grant Black. Hello, Grant, how are you?
I'm fine, mate. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. So I don't know where to start this interview because there's so many congratulations that we need to offer you. Firstly, it seems like, was it 14 months ago we first spoke when we were talking about keeping Ossett Town up and your plans for the season ahead, the following season. And looking back now, 14 months later, could you imagine you'd be in the playoff final for Division 1 North?
I think it was, 14 months, which has absolutely flown by, to be fair, by the way. A lot of things have happened in and out of football since then. But to be honest, you know, if I'm being honest, I think it would have been even, you know, as confident as I am in the lads that I've got in and my ability and the club and things like that, it would have been... be a lie to say that I'd have expected us to be where we are, to be honest, in such a short space of time.
And it's been a cracking season, and all the way through, I've been saying the same thing. Well, Grant Black said he'd be up towards the top end. You did say you were going to turn it around, but whether you were going to turn it around in a season is might be a bone of contention. But you have been absolutely superb this season. Firstly, to get into the playoffs, and then to travel to Scarborough in what many people would have said, well, Scarborough are favourites for this one. It's a home game. There's over 1,000 there in Bridlington. What was your mood going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we're not one to sort of harp on about being underdogs and stuff, but, you know, people have made a big deal of that all season, and rightly so, to be fair. You know, we are underdogs. We are punching above his weight, you know, financially and things like that, with some of the teams that are in this league now, which is really good for the league, you know, big clubs such as Scarborough. But, you know, we were confident going into it. You know, we've had a strong season, and we've sort of been in and around it most of the season, you know, and we had a dip sort of after Christmas, where we sort of went off boil a little bit. But, you know, going into Scarborough, we had three massive games: Prescott, Trafford, and Farsley, obviously. And we knew that a defeat in any of them would have meant it were going to be tough for us to get in there. So getting the results we needed out of them games gave us massive confidence going into Scarborough, to be honest. Yeah.
And you needed that confidence, really, didn't you? I mean, you took the lead, obviously, but then Scarborough got back into the game. And then you kicked up a gear. Is that the dressing room? Is that comes from the dressing room, that sense of belief and never say die kind of attitude?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we've based a lot of us team talks and things like that on that. Yeah, and you know, Tuesday were no different. Never said underdogs. You know, a lot of people writing us off before we'd even kicked a ball on Tuesday. You know, I think there were a poll that someone put up for us where, you know, I think we got 2% or a poll to sort of to win playoffs outright, you know. So again, all kind of motivational stuff for lads. But, you know, to be honest, on Tuesday night, as you mentioned earlier on, over 1,000 people there, nice pitch, playoff semi-final. They didn't need any motivating. And like I've said in previous things, you know, these lads will go that extra mile for each other because they've got that bond, which obviously winning games breeds.
Now, this weekend, then, you don't mind being the underdogs. Farsley Celtic have been absolutely superb all season, pretty much. We were basically going into our playoff semi-final special, maybe suggesting that because Farsley didn't win the league and were pipped to it just, that might be, you know, a bridge too far for them on Tuesday night. But then they go out and beat Cone by 4-0. Very comprehensive. Ossett Town, you're going to Throstle's Nest this weekend. What's your take going into this game? And I should say at this point, Grant, you're more than welcome to play mind games.
Mind games, yeah. I don't know if I'm brainy enough or clever enough to get into mind games, to be honest.
Oh, he's already started, listener. He's already started.
Yeah, and the other thing with mind games is I know John DC obviously really well. I played for him, played under him at Bradford Park Avenue. So, you know, I think he knows my mind games, and I'd know his as far as that's concerned. But, you know, again, I got asked this question, you know, on radio yesterday, I think it was. You know, for me, Farsley Celtic are sort of the best team in league, you know, player for player. The amount of quality they've got in the side is frightening. You know, and they were tipped by everyone to go up, and obviously we're unlucky to do that. You know, part of that was obviously us beating them on the Monday, which will give them extra motivation, you know, to beat us. So, you know, we go into it knowing that we've got to be, as much as we've played well and we've done well Tuesday night, we have to be even better and we have to be even more focused on being Farsley, because, you know, like I said, they've got players in every single position that a flick or a switch can punish you if you're not switched on.
And no injury worries, anything like that going into this game? It's probably beneficial it didn't go to extra time on Tuesday.
Yeah, beneficial it didn't go to extra time. I mean, we've been patching people up, mate, for 2 months now. We've got, you know, players playing with broken toes. I'll not mention which ones because I don't want Farsley players stepping on them. But broken toes, swollen ankles, you know, things like that. But same as probably Farsley, I've got to be honest. And obviously, Evo Stick, how to do things. It's a quick turnaround for games, to be honest, which is frustrating. But, you know, it's one of them things, and it's same for both teams. We knuckle down and we bandage them up and we go for Saturday.
Well, Grant Black, manager at Ossett Town, I can't wish you more luck, obviously, than Farsley, but I wish you a safe journey over, and we hope Pies and non-league football are the winner this weekend. So best of luck.
Thank you very much. Cheers, mate.
So, enough about Division 1 North. Let's look at the playoff final in Division 1 South. Very shortly, we're going to be speaking to the manager at Spalding United. But before that, it's to the host we go now, to Wayne Albion. It's the welcome return to the show. It's Carl McCauley. Hello, Carl. How are you?
I'm okay, Van. I'm fine, thanks.
Firstly, a big congratulations on making the playoffs. A very sturdy effort going into the final months of the season. A lot of games for Witten Albion to fit in. But then that playoff semi-final on Tuesday, you didn't look like a side that was suffering from fatigue.
No, we've kind of managed it right, really, Ben. We've rotated, we've got a strong squad, and we wanted to keep winning games and keep the momentum high, and that's what we've managed to do. We rested a few lads here and there, but the team, what we've been throwing out, has been really, really strong. And then going into the game against Rushden, we always knew it was going to be a tight game. And to be fair to Rushden, they've come with a game plan, a different game plan than what we expected. And to be fair to our lads, we've stuck out what we've had to do, and they've come out on top, and I thought it was a fully deserved victory.
Now, we've already spoken to Neil Parsley at Farsley Celtic, because they had a similar kind of running in a way. There was a title race in Division 1 North, and there was a title race in Division 1 South. It was a tall ask, but you were pipped to the title in the end by Shaw Lane. How important was it to maintain focus going into the last couple of weeks of the season, even after that defeat in Barnsley a couple of weeks before?
Yeah, it was really important. I mean, every game that comes our way, we want to win, and we want to get 3 points. And it was important that we kept focused on every game that come our way. For the team that finished on 86 points and scored 100 goals, you'd think they'd win the league, but it wasn't meant to be. And the team that pipped us to that fully deserved the championship and a very good Shard and Shaw Lane. So it was important then. We wanted to get the next best and get home advantage. With that, I think we finished 25 points ahead of Rushden and Diamonds. Sometimes you didn't want that to play in the lads' mind because, you know, it's a one-off game, but like I said, we managed to overcome that. Now we've got the visitor Spalding, who are a very good side, strong, direct, and it'll be a tough game. I'm sure they'll come with a game plan to how to stop us.
It's an Andrew Simpson stat, this one, but I'm going to recycle it. I think Shaw Lane accrued the most points of any title winner in Division 1 South, and Witten Albion accrued the most points for any team finishing second. So that goes to show you where you've come from, and especially where you were in February. It was a phenomenal effort by Witten Albion. And just to mention that game on Tuesday night, we commentated on it, and for my money, Rushden and Diamonds weren't really in the game at all, and that's all credit to Witten Albion. And even with the sending off at 1-0, it just didn't look like Witten were going to get beat.
No, I appreciate that. And I thought the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I thought Rushden come out the blocks quicker than those. And just as the game went on then, we started to dictate the game and control the game, and We had a number of good chances and I thought the keeper in goal for them made two or three fantastic saves. The first, the one what just before half time, I think it was 42 minutes, Bradley Beres gets in and he made that outstanding save. But, you know, we've just got to keep going and going and, you know, it all comes down to tomorrow's game and sure they'll be on a high score lane after their win against Stockbridge and both sides of second and third will come head to head again and we've just got to make sure that we're right for everything.
And we should mention as well, we mentioned it to Jason Ainsley earlier about the fact it's second v third in the Premier Division. It's second v third as well in Division 1 South. And that's the playoffs in action there. It seems awfully fitting. Spalding have been also involved in this title race through the season. They've been third for ages. And it's going to be a tussle. But what are your expectations?
I don't know. I think it's just going to it'll be a tough game. Two sides of different styles. I know they'll come with the direct style, what they possess. Along with that, the strong lads, set plays. And then we're a side who like to try build out from the back when we recognise we can do that. But again, we've got some outstanding players, the same as Spalding. And we've had a fantastic season. We've had a great cup run, great two cup run, I should say. We've had lads picked in the best 11 side for the non-league. We've got a lad who's representing England, so that just speaks volumes about our team and how well we've really done over the season. Ben.
Well, Carl McCauley, manager at Witton Albion, I can't wish you more luck than Spalding, obviously, but I've said this to everyone, I hope non-league and Pies are the winner. Taste of the Pies on Tuesday night at Winsham Park, and I know your boys and yourself, you don't get involved in that kind of thing, the catering, but I can assure the listener at home, if you go into Witton, the Pies are sensational. But best of luck this weekend, Carl.
Thanks.
And
Thanks,
I'll speak to you soon. So that's the view from the host, Witton Albion. But what about the visitors this weekend? Well, we're now joined, making his debut on the show, by the manager at Spalding United. It's Chris Rawlinson. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
So firstly, a big congratulations for the result on Tuesday evening. We were covering it live on our playoff semi-final special. And unfortunately, because we're at Witton, we had to turn the lights were going off, so we had to leave Mark Lee at the Spalding Guardian just doing his Twitter updates. But in the end, Spalding won by 3-2 and 103rd minute, the winner. What were your emotions on the evening?
Yeah, it was a real roller coaster. Obviously, we took the lead twice, got pegged back twice. Our goalkeeper had a bit of a knock in it, which affected his mobility. So, you know, it was a real back-to-the-wall job. But to be fair, popped up with a winner in extra time, so we were all over the moon.
Now, going into the game, we were talking about it's chalk and cheese in a way. It was Spalding United who've been comfortably in the playoffs pretty much most of the season now, and versus Stocksbridge Park Steels, who've surged into the playoffs in the last few games. So quite a challenge for you and the coaching staff and the players to try and get it right. What was the secret to try and keep the players with the eye on the prize?
Yes, we have been third pretty much all year, flirted with second, but I don't think we dropped out of it since the end of August at the top three. Obviously, the time, you know, we were chasing Chorley and stuff, thought we had a chance of catching them, but that sort of fell by the wayside and Witton overtook us, and fair play to them. So then the prize was to make sure we got in the playoffs, which we confirmed, and then the prize was to make sure we finished third and had a home game, which we did on Bank Holiday Monday. So it still kept us something to play for till the end of the season.
And a cracking attendance as well, 450 nearly there in Lincolnshire.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere, I've watched the video back, and a superb atmosphere there and a superb occasion. What did a result like that mean for the club to go to the final?
Yeah, well, it's huge for the club, to be fair to the board and everyone who volunteers. Sort of, they employed Dave Freckens and myself in the summer with a three-year plan. It's happened a lot quicker than may have thought it would do, which is great, and you know, everyone from the fans and the people of the town of Spalding have really got behind it, which is great to see. I think we were getting attendances of sort of 80s and 90s early on in the season, and to get 440 was superb, and it was a brilliant atmosphere.
And you touched upon it there with Dave Frecklington, obviously you were the assistant, and then Dave's obviously gone to Gainsborough. What's the challenge been like for yourself to take the step up and maintain standards and get, obviously, to finish the season take it to this game against Stocksbridge, beat Stocksbridge after extra time, and now going to Witton. What's the challenge been for yourself?
Well, you know, to be fair to Dave, and I'll put it on record and I'll say it again, you know, he's built a fantastic squad. What we managed to do, you know, with him leaving, it could have gone two ways, you know, but we managed to keep the squad together. You know, no one's left since he left. To be fair, we haven't brought anyone else in either. So we've just managed to keep the continuity going of the good work the guys had done in the previous sort of 29 games before Dave left. And you know, they've got a hunger to get over the line, which is obvious to see, to be honest with you. So yeah, it's been good. You know, relative, I'm not going to say easy, but, you know, simple process to carry on the good work that we started.
Now, that then leads us to this Saturday's matchup, Winchin Park against Witton Albion. And the extra time, is it going to be a factor? I mean, what's the squad looking like going into this important match this weekend? And I should mention, this is your chance as well, Chris. If you're more than welcome to play mind games, you go for it. It's up to you.
No, not at all. I mean, the squad, obviously, there's a little bit of tiredness around, but that's only to be accepted at this time of the year. You know, the extra time, really, you know, the boys are going to rest up and everything like that. So I should have a fully fit squad to choose from come Saturday. I don't really see the extra time affecting us too badly. It was Tuesday and we're playing on Saturday, so it's something we're used to.
And we mentioned the crowd being at the home game. Are you expecting a decent following as well heading up there to Cheshire this weekend?
Yeah, I think there's a coach hall going up, which will be fantastic, because we normally get about four people watching us away from home. So better play to the people as well who are going to make the effort. So it should just be a great occasion. It's like I said before, you know, the home game was important on the Tuesday night for the town, but come the playoff final, I couldn't really care less where it is, and it's a one-off game. Yeah, okay, Witton are at home, and fair play to them. They deserve to be with their excellent season they've had, but there's no reason we can't go there and do what we've done. We've won plenty of games away from home this season, so I'm quietly confident that we'll show up on the day.
Well, Chris Rawlinson, manager at Spalding United. I've said this to all the managers on this week's show. I can't wish you more luck than the opposition, but I hope non-league football and pies are the winner this weekend, and wish you a safe journey over to Winchin Park, and all the best this weekend.
Thank you very much. That's brilliant.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. And also, we should say, it's probably the end of Evo Stick Extra. We have got an NPL show special coming out on Saturday evening with all the results from the NPL playoff finals in the Premier Division, Division 1 North and Division 1 South, as we'll be hearing from a few journalists and, of course, hopefully, fingers crossed, all the winners too. There'll also be a season review coming out next Friday, as we'll be live from Swampy's garden, no less, assuming it's sunny. If not, it'll be probably from Swampy's kitchen. But we will have a show next week reviewing the whole season just gone. Don't forget, you can follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet, that's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Look out on the official Twitter feed at Evo Stick League for all the details on where you'll be able to tune in to the various playoff finals on Saturday afternoon. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Good luck, everybody. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.